podcast where I talk to myself on a train. Today we're going to be researching the simple question, do sharks have lips? First, writer mail. This is a 425 area code. This writer says, hello, please look on the ground in front of you, tell me what you see, and then heated goodbye. All right. I see this looks like a coffee stain on the train of this BART car. And then I'm leaving. Bye. Was that heated enough? I hope it was heated enough. Oh. Thank you, 425. This writer's name is News. This writer writes, and Herbie screamed. That's dark. Thanks for that, News. Alright, let's look at some shark research. This might be a more of a philosophical question, but that's cool too. Do sharks have lips? Do sharks have lips? ChaCha.com. Does a shark have lips? Oh, sponsored offers. Ads by AdBlade. Remove your eye bags and there's... Ooh, eye bags. Oh, I get it. It's like the circles under your eyes. Okay, I thought that was like some horrifying disease. These new pills provide unstoppable energy and intelligence used by thousands already. Is it hype? There's a picture of someone licking the camera with a blue thing on the tongue. Topics, animals, fish, sharks. Ads by Google. Do you think you have termites? Get a free assessment. $1,500 a month. Asterisk, eco-friendly. Planetorange.com or plane to range. Answers. The cookie-cutter sharks have thick lips that along with their tongues and sharp teeth carve chunks of flesh out of other animals. 6 years ago. That's not a great answer. I guess, like, cookie-cutter sharks clearly, like, by this, according to this person, have lips. Ads by Google. Tell Grubhub, save sharks. Tell Grubhub to stop offering menus that serve shark products. act.oceana.org/slime/Grubhub. The cookie-cutter shark's feeding strategy is aided by extremely large, sharp teeth, thick lips, and rotationary movement of the body. Stone Cole, 6 years ago. Yes, sharks have lips. Nurse sharks use thick lips to suck food from rocky crevices. I guess... Oh, this is a record. This might be, like, the record of finding the answer to a train hot dog question. Oh, here we go. Ask.fm. Do sharks have lips? Vic Fuentes, though. Gabriel Torres, at Vic Fuentes, though, writes, hi, do sharks have lips? No? Question mark? About 2 years ago. Thanks, Ask.fm. Megamouth shark. The megamouth shark is distinctive for its large head with rubbery lips. Facula.com. Do sharks have lips? Question keywords. Animals, fish, sharks. Cookie cutter sharks. Okay, I'm looking this up. Choke cure shark. So it got sharks right. Thanks, Swipe. Cookie cutter sharks. Oh god, those guys are horrifying. Look at those terrible... Yeah, they clearly have lips. You can't smile like that without lips. Cookie cutter shark, also called the cigar shark, is a species of small dogfish shark in the family... I'm not going to read that. a shark occurs, it occurs. That's, okay, that's probably the correct word to use there, but it's still hilarious to me. In warm oceanic waters worldwide, particularly near islands, it has been reported as deep as 3.7 kilometers. It migrates vertically up to 3 kilometers every day, approaching the surface at dusk and descending with dawn. 146 centimeters in length, the cookie cutter shark has a long cylindrical body with a short, blunt snout, large eyes, two tiny spineless dorsal fins, a large caudal fin. It is dark brown in color with light-emitting photophores covering its underside except for the dark color around its throat and gill slits. The name cookie cutter shark refers to its feeding habit of gouging round plugs as if cut out with a cookie cutter out of larger animals. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Man, we're done with that topic. This is the shortest episode. Okay, I gotta pick another topic. I'll make this a two-for-one deal at the train hot dog station. Do sharks have lips? Here we go. Who eats aspics, or who ate them? Like, because I've talked to some old people, and none of them ate aspics. Aspic is. I'm going to search for it right now. But if you don't know what an aspic is, you should just Google aspic. Shit, A-P-I-C. Aspic is a dish in which ingredients are set into a gelatin made from a meat stock or consommé. I don't know how to pronounce that, but I think it's consommé. Non-savory dishes often made with commercial gelatin mixes without stock or consommé are usually called gelatin salads. When cooled, stock that is made from meat congeals because of the natural gelatin found in the meat. The stock can be clarified with egg whites and then filled and flavored just before the aspic sets. Almost any type of food can be set into aspics. Hang on, I've got some gastronomic distress here. Most common are meat pieces, fruits, or vegetables. Aspics are usually served on cold plates so that the gel will not melt before being eaten. A meat jelly that includes cream is called a French word that I don't want to try to pronounce. Nearly any type of meat can be used to make the gelatin: pork, beef, veal, chicken, turkey, or fish. The aspic may need additional gelatin in order to set properly. Veal stock provides a great deal of gelatin in making stock. Veal is often included with the other meat for that reason. Alright, uses. Aspic can be referred to aspic jelly. Aspic jelly may be colorless, white aspic, or contain various shades of amber. Aspic can be used to protect food from the air or to give it more flavor as a decoration. Worldwide variants. Among the Nuars of the Kathmandu Valley in Nepal, buffalo meat jelly is a major component in the winter festivity gourmet. It is eaten in combination with fish aspic, which is made from the dried fish and buffalo meat stock, soured, and contains a heavy mix of spices and condiments. In Russian, a meat aspic is called something, derived from the word something meaning cold. It's called colds. The dish is part of the winter holiday festive meals in Central, Eastern, and Northern Europe. Aspic often takes the form of pork jelly, and it is popular around the Easter and Christmas holidays. A Georgian version is called Mujuji. See also who eats these things. Aspic Aspirations is savory jelly worth reviving. The golden age of aspic is long over, but some dishes seem to be tentatively resurgent. Okay, golden age of aspic. I want to know when and where that was. Golden age of piracy of Gaia aspic. Aspic. they swipe, still doesn't know the word aspic. I gotta teach it. The golden age of aspic. Oh, how your FB, what? It brought me to Facebook, like my Facebook homepage. The only place that golden age of aspic phrase is used is in that Guardian article. Alright, let's read this Reddit thread. I've made aspic flavored with port wine to surround foie gras. If you're going to make foie gras, you might as well pull out all the stops. I cringe just reading about it. Aspic needs to stay dead. I remember coating some duck confit in aspic in culinary school as part of our advanced class. That day I learned aspic is disgusting. Questionable culinary creations of the golden age of American cookery. Who actually ate aspics? Aspic, there's a reason no one makes it anymore. Domestic. That's like dough, like fried dough, mess, like we've made a big mess of the place, and tick, like it's a nervous tick, .com. Aspic, there's a reason no one makes it anymore, and here's like two shrimps arranged in a heart, and in like a little gelatin cookie. It's horrifying. Hey kids, I'm still on vacation, but here's a doozy for ya. Jane, the barefoot kitchen witch. I met Jane on our trip up north. Yes, I know what she looks like, and no, I'm not telling. She's done a marvelous job of keeping herself well hidden. She's so funny. She's so dedicated. Okay, I don't need to know more about Jane. Here's what Jane wrote, though. Last week, in a moment of apparent weakness and desperation, Susan asked if I'd write a guest post. Oh, come on. Less boilerplate, more content. Enough with the egg custard stuff. She'd also mentioned, in the same paragraph of this post I'm talking about, that the only thing more hideous than flan would be aspic. Aspic is like a big fat mistake. Who thinks of crap like that? And for that reason, I had decided to try my hand at making aspic. To make an aspic, you need some sort of stock to begin with. Beef, fish, chicken, pork, vegetable, or veal. Different animals' bones produce different amounts of gelatin, so it's sometimes necessary to add additional gelatin to create successful aspic. Veal provides lots of gelatin, but I don't happen to have any. I have a few varieties of chicken stock, some fish stock, clam broth, crab stock at the moment. Oh, and beef stock, too. I should really should keep a list. Anyway, I decided to go with crab stock. It's very flavorful stuff, because when we cook the crabs that produce the stock, we used all sorts of seasonings, including some Old Bay. That's like the East Bay, right? And as far as what to put in the aspic, because what's the point of aspic if you can't suspend stuff in it? I went with shrimp and vegetables, because again, that's what I have on hand. So first thing, how do you make aspic? I purposely avoided Julia Child's books because, well, I was being lazy, and her recipes are so detailed you need a GPS to follow them. I googled aspic recipe and found one at allsands.com. I haven't tested this recipe, and in fact, as I type this, I haven't even finished making my aspic. It's chilling in the fridge, so I won't even have an opinion about it until I've taken a picture of the final product. Exciting, huh? Okay, this is like someone talking about making an aspic. The icky era of aspic, sociological images. Peruse cookbooks from the 1950s, you'll find a ton of recipes featuring aspic and gelatin. Many of us today find these recipes, well, repulsive. For example, turkey and chicken. How to make something of leftover roast pork and ham. Molded pork loaf. Cool molded pork loaf. My friend Emily had a misbeaten party and I made a avocado lime gelatin with mayonnaise, but lost at the competition for the nastiest dish, the cucumber au gratin. That's a nice photo. Here is the cover of a cookbook devoted to gel cookery, Knox on camera recipes. Was it just a fad? It turns out no, it was status, or so says a blogger at the good old days. We've all wondered what the hell could motivate someone to prepare, serve, and eat so many gel-based foods. Well, it was simply so they could brag about owning a refrigerator. You can't solidify gelatin without refrigeration. So you couldn't serve jelly bouillon with frankfurters unless you were above a certain income level. So people started jellying meats, vegetables, salads, cream, and pretty much everything in their kitchen. Aspic is just a way to brag that you have a refrigerator. Ah, straightdope.com. Oh, it's the forums. Well, maybe that'll be useful. Did people actually eat? Oh, man, it's trying to get me to install the Tapatalk app. No thanks. Did people actually eat those jello meat seafood olive dishes? It appears to be the new internet hobby to dig up the most 1950s disgusting jello mold dish. This one with shrimp and crab must rank high. Did anybody actually eat these? Aspic. Not that particular kind, but I grew up with aspic in my Polish-American family. I love it, but most non-Eastern Europeans seem to find the whole idea disgusting. Here's a typical example of Polish aspic, made with chicken, carrots, peas, etc. What's interesting to me is that apparently aspic used to be a thing here in the U.S., judging by old cookbooks from the era you're referencing. However, I've never met someone who admits to liking it besides other fellow first-generation folks. The Russian version is very tasty. Love it. Can only get it in one place here in Maryland, and even there it's subpar. My mom is coming to visit soon, and I will have to ask her to make it. Thanks to whoever pointed to Vuki on aspic. I never knew what it was called in English. Jellied meat and fish rock. On the other hand, I loathe jello. Gelatin used to be a rich person's food. Oh, this might be... Gelatin used to be a rich person's food before it became more widely available in the early 20th century. I suspect those recipes from the 1950s are a throwback to when gelatin was considered to be fancy. State dinner during the Kennedy and Carter administrations, originally posted by Entertaining the White House by Marie Smith in 1967. Another dinner that turned the White House into a brilliant international culture center was the one the Kennedys gave to honor one of France's most distinguished men of letters, André Malraux, the 60-year-old minister of state cultural affairs for the Republic of France. The guests, all distinguished in the arts, were served an evening of music, including Schubert's trio in B-flat major, opus 99, in four parts, played by... Okay. The spring menu was impressive and international. It consisted of pheasant aspic salad is the one thing in the list I can pronounce. Cream puffs garnished with nuts is the other thing. Carter served Columbia River's salmon and aspic in 1979 dinner, marking the Egyptian-Israeli peace treaty. So at one time, you could evidently have high-class aspics. The question, did people ever actually eat jello molds with meat and seafood is totally different questions from did people ever eat jellied anything. Of course they ate jellied things that had been cooked in broth and bones. But everyone comparing aspic to a meat jello mold is high. Jello is 80% sugar. I don't personally know, but I have to say that the presence of meaty lime jello is prevalent enough in totally legit cookbooks over a long enough period of time that I must conclude people did in fact eat it sometimes. The longevity and ubiquity of such recipes can suggest to me it wasn't one of those food trends that marketers push out but never quite catch on with the public. Chef Boyardee catered the wedding reception for Woodrow Wilson's second wedding. I guess that's a joke. Here's just a list of bad foods. Meat fisting at home. Jello art of the 20s and 30s. Let's look at that. Oh, these are all like image heavy, so it's not going to be useful. It's not going to be good podcast material. Kid at my Southern Baptist church, I used to gag at seeing the variety of jello with carrot shavings and creamy sauce dishes on the buffet table. They were always the last thing to go if they went at all. Everyone sneered at the big bucket of KFC on the table, but it disappeared faster than anything else. Oh man, anything else, but it's spelled A-L-E-S-E. Nice typo. I'm gonna send that to my linguist sister. She has to say about it. Maybe we're almost there, so she's not going to get back in time to have a reaction.